Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in these uncertain times. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds on the Holistic Survival Show. And by the way, be sure to visit our website at holisticsurvival.com. You can subscribe to our blog, which is totally free, has loads of great information, and there's just a lot of good content for you on the site. So make sure you take advantage of that at holisticsurvival.com. We'll be right back. It's my pleasure to welcome Janice Dean to the show. She is a senior meteorologist for Fox News and Fox Business. And I have to say to all the listeners, I have never had the pleasure of interviewing a meteorologist, so this should be interesting. Janice, welcome. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks. And you're coming to us from New York, and so you are in the midst of some amazingly rough winter storms this year, right?
Yeah, we've had a little bit of a break. Today was a break, but we have had storm after storm after storm hit this region, and we're well above average in terms of snow totals across the Northeast and the Great Lakes and the Midwest. And of course, it's been incredibly cold for millions of people, really since, I would say, the first week of January, we started to feel that those Arctic plunges, those Arctic cold fronts coming in, and that it's just been really relentless. I think a lot of people are saying, we're ready for springtime, but I think we've got 40 days left until the official day of spring, but I'll tell you, a lot of people are counting down.
Yeah. Well, I want to cover some diverse topics with you today, but, you know, maybe the first, because it's, maybe fairly innocuous, is technology. How do you forecast weather, and what was sort of the last big thing, and what's coming up in weather technology?
Well, I think, you know, over the past 10 years, meteorology and forecasting has gotten a lot better. Our computer modeling is getting better. You'll hear a lot of meteorologists talk about things like the Euro model or the GFS model, and those are computer models that we use to forecast big storm events, so winter storms, even hurricanes, that kind of thing. They've gotten better over the years. The technology and the data that we input into these computer models has gotten much more finite, much more refined. So, you know, the output is a lot more accurate. And, you know, we don't just use one model. We use a series of models, and they all kind of do different things. One model will be really good at forecasting temperatures. Another is better at forecasting, you know, positioning of a storm and how strong a storm is. So you got to know which one, what the strengths are in each computer model, and that comes with experience, obviously. The two really good computer models that we use are the GFS, which is the American model, and the European model, which obviously comes out of Europe. And when it comes to storm forecasts, that's typically what we use to dictate the winter storms that are coming our way, and, of course, tropical season as well. So the forecasting is getting better, but I will tell you, it's still not a perfect science, obviously, and there is a lot of room for error. A good example is the storm that we had in Atlanta last week. Forecasters knew it was coming. They knew it was going to, you know, be a couple of inches of snow, but the timing was a little bit off, and that in itself really kind of stopped the city in its tracks. Because it came a little bit earlier, people realized they had to go pick up their kids at school. They realized they had to get home to relieve babysitters or to get supplies or whatever, and it brought the city to a standstill. So that gives you a good example of, yes, we can give you a time frame, and we can tell you perhaps some of the snow that's going to come, but you know, you have to factor in things like temperature and the positioning of the storm and the winds and that kind of thing, because snow is one of the hardest things to forecast for meteorologists. Especially when the temperature is hovering around the freezing mark, you can have anything from sleet to freezing rain to snow. So it's always going to be very challenging for us.
Very, very interesting. So I discovered a very interesting weather app. I think it's a Kickstarter campaign or something. I'm probably going to give them some publicity. But it's called Dark Sky. And I just saw that yesterday, the day before, when someone mentioned it on Facebook. And I looked it up. And one of the things they said in the video is that the most important part about weather is knowing what's going to happen in the next couple of hours, because that's how we kind of live our life. And I kind of rethought it. I mean, I love the 5-day forecast, and I look at that, and I wish we could get a 1-year forecast out of you people, but I guess that's not coming anytime soon.
That's not going to happen in our lifetime.
Yeah. But you know, they said, you know, you can tell exactly with their apps, that's their promise. I don't know if it's really true, but you can tell the pretty much just about the exact time rain will hit and the exact time about rain will leave. I mean, is that really possible?
Oh, I'll have to look into this app. I have heard of it before, and they're into obviously something called we call now casting. So they're into a period of time where they are forecasting sort of the moment. I would suppose I'd have to look into it a little bit more. But you know, it's tough. It's always going to be tough unless you have high pressure sitting over your area, like Phoenix, Arizona, that kind of thing. It's really hard to give a really concrete forecast. Like I said, if you're living in the desert Southwest, you can pretty much sometimes time your watch on what the forecast is going to be like. But if you live across areas like the Northeast or the Great Lakes, where you have bodies of water that influence weather, you know, troughs that move across, that kind of thing, then you know, it's tougher. So it really depends on where you live. It depends on where your climate is. You know, a lot of people say, maybe you should go to California because, you know, every day is the same. But they have to forecast things like marine layer and fog and Santa Ana winds. So it depends on where you live, and you obviously have to know your climate and what to expect.
Very interesting. Well, what happens, though, on the other side of this, like, long-range forecasting? I remember my my late grandfather, he used to read the Farmer's Almanac, and he was a farmer, you know, in upstate New York. So,
yeah.
I mean, did they really show you what the weather was going to be next August, for example, so you could plan your crops or something?
Let me give you an example of the Farmer's Almanac. And, you know, I have to be careful because people do love the Farmer's Almanac. It's a beloved piece of literature, but they don't tell you how they forecast. They say it's sunspots, and they don't give you the way that they forecast or how they forecast. It's sort of a cloak and dagger kind of thing. But they will give you specific days on where they think it's going to be stormy, and they give you kind of an outlook of what to expect during the wintertime. And I'll give you a good example. The Super Bowl this year was played in New Jersey last weekend, and the Farmer's Almanac put out 6 months beforehand their prediction of what the Super Bowl forecast was going to be, and it was dire. It was the Blizzard Bowl and feet of snow, and you know, not
so
feet maybe,
so they were right.
No, they weren't. I mean, the Super Bowl itself, on the Super Bowl day, it was 54 degrees and sunny out.
Well, okay, yeah, you consider that warm, but I looked at it as there was just a big blizzard back there through the whole.
I will say the next day we had a lot of snow. So, you know, I think it's very general what they put out there, and I think they, you know, they take into account climate and that kind of thing and what to expect. So for them to say it was going to be a stormy Super Bowl, well, February in New Jersey, chances are pretty good that they might be right. So, but the day of the Super Bowl, I was forecasting it. We had like some of the warmest temperatures we've had all winter, and it was, you know, it was clear skies for the game.
Very interesting, very interesting. If you were talking, and you know, maybe you've actually done this before, so you'll have this right off the cuff. But if you were talking to a room full of, say, 6th or 7th graders, for example, say you went into school to talk and explain weather, what is the basic concepts of meteorology that we could know? Because I only learned this, what little I know about it, from just watching professionals like yourself on the news. High pressure means warm, low pressure means cold, and clouds mean clouds, and rain means rain.
Right.
I mean, you know, what's kind of just some of the basic fundamentals of weather?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I came out with the children's book.
I didn't know this.
that came out last year, called Freddy the Frogcaster, and it's available. And I actually have another Freddy coming out in September that is going to be dealing with a blizzard. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to introduce children to meteorology, gently give them an introduction to some of the terms that I use on TV, like you mentioned, high pressure, low pressure, cold front, warm front, things that we use, thermometer, barometer, wind gauges, that kind of thing, rain gauges. So I realized that there was a need for that. There's not a lot of books out there that help kids understand what's going on in the atmosphere. And from my experience, kids really do pick up on what's going on, and they remember things. But for me, getting into meteorology and weather forecasting, growing up in Canada, we had many storms, ice storms, very cold temperatures, and I remember those as a kid. So it certainly had an influence on me growing up and what I wanted to do. So having said that, I wanted to sort of introduce that in a children's book. So I created a character named Freddy the Frogcaster, who loves forecasting weather and has been doing it since he was a tadpole. And he loves weather so much, his dad builds him a weather station out in the backyard that has all the things that I mentioned, a barometer, temperature gauges, rain gauges, things to measure snow, that kind of thing. So when I do go out to schools and I read them the book, you know, they are very interested in what's going on. I think as a kid and being interested in weather, I think it's up to the parents as well to kind of take an interest with their child.
Oh, also, yeah, no question about it.
You can go outside and look up at a cloud and weather clues out in the atmosphere to give you an idea of what's coming. You know, the white puffy clouds with sunshine is typically a nice day, but if the clouds are gray and wispy, you know, that should give you an indication that maybe the storm is on the way. Certainly the humidity in the atmosphere, if you live out in the desert Southwest, you don't have a whole lot of humidity a lot of the time, but that will also give you an indication of what kind of day. Is it going to be hazy or humid and sticky? So there are all kinds of things that you can do just as an observer to look for clues in the atmosphere about what's going to happen.
Right, right. Well, you know, like sailors, and of course, U2 has a famous song called Red Skies at Night, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I can't remember because I used to be an avid sailor, and I can't remember what that tells you, but these all have meanings. Like, you can tell if a storm is coming in. There are indicators that aren't the obvious ones. Oh, there's gray ominous clouds in the sky. Well, everyone knows that means a storm's coming in, but
mm-hmm.
but are there some other clues that we can just average and in just daily life use to know about weather?
Well, I think atmospheric pressure is a really, you know, having a barometer, just that in itself, knowing if a high pressure or low pressure is on the way. You know, if the barometer goes up, that typically means high pressure is
it's going to be warm,
in, and
right?
High pressure usually typically means a nice clear day is going to be pushing in, and low pressure obviously means a storm could be on its way. So a barometer is a very easy indication of telling you what kind of air mass is pushing in. So, you know, it's little things like that. And like there are tools that you can use to measure the humidity and which direction the wind is coming from.
Sure. Yeah,
you know, cold front, warm front, that kind of thing. Typically a warm front will come from the south and a cold front will come from the north. So, you know, these are all things that if you have a love of weather, then, you know, you can have your own backyard weather station.
A lot of apps for the phone, and I've got several weather apps on my iPhone, and, you know, I really like the feels like index, and my assumption is that feels like index, meaning what it feels like, even though they may say, well, the temperature is 70, but it's humid, I assume
uh-huh.
that's, I'm going to ask you what that actually takes into account, but, you know, I assume if it's humid, it feels like 75 rather than 70, right? And if it's dry, it could feel cooler, I suppose. Tell us about that feels like index that a lot of groups are using nowadays.
Right. So it feels like when it's warm out, it's the humidity that can make it feel, in some cases, oppressive. Especially across the south, and that really tells you how much moisture is in the atmosphere. So your body, when you are exercising or you're outdoors, if it's humid outside, your body doesn't have as easy as a time to cool itself off because there's so much humidity or moisture in the atmosphere. And so that makes it feel even warmer. And that can be very dangerous if you've got, a humidity that makes it, say you live out in the south and you've got a lot of moisture in the atmosphere, it inhibits your body to cool itself naturally, and that can be very dangerous.
It's miserable.
So, and then you've also got things like feels like when it's cold outside, wind chill factor. So when you live across the northern plains and the upper Midwest where you've got wind chill advisories, wind chill warnings, that means the winds are blowing at, say, 20, 30 miles per hour, and it feels even colder than that. So it may be 0 degrees, but with the wind chill, it feels like minus 20, minus 30. And again, that's how that takes into account how your body deals with either very cold temperatures or very warm temperatures, factoring in either the fact that there's a lot of moisture in the atmosphere or the fact that there's very cold air blowing.
Very interesting. Is there any truth, or this isn't exactly probably your area, but I was at the dog park the other day and this guy there started talking to me about chemtrails in the sky. And, he started showing me, well, you see, that's not a real cloud because they've been spraying something up there and you can tell by the way it has formed or something. Is this like a wacky conspiracy theory or is there something to this? I mean, our government, I guess, admits that it seeds the atmosphere from time to time to end droughts and stuff, right? Doesn't it do that?
I think that the theory of chemtrails has been refuted by the scientific community, that they're just simple, normal condensation trails from airplanes, high-flying jets, that kind of thing, condensation trails. I won't dispute that we're putting stuff in our atmosphere that we shouldn't be putting in our atmosphere, but I'm a weather person, so I study weather patterns and clouds and that kind of thing. But a lot of people do believe that there is something to that theory, the chemtrail theory, that trails are left by aircraft that are chemical or biological agents. I don't study that, so I really can't give you a scientific answer.
I started to pay more attention to it after the Olympics in China, a few years ago, and they were trying to defeat the smog problem they have there, which is just talk about impressive.
Cloud seeding and that kind of thing.
Again,
that's sort of not my expertise, so I couldn't give you a really
just thought I'd throw it out as a question, not anything particular. What do you think about these winter storms we've had? A lot of people have been saying, well, this debunks the global warming theory, which I think can be debunked a lot of ways, frankly. Mm-hmm. But and then of course the people in that camp that believe in global warming, they conveniently changed the name a few years ago and rebranded it to climate change, which I think was rather disingenuous. But
because the climate is always changing, right?
As if the weather's never changed before, right?
Right. So listen, I'm all for protecting our environment, trying to do what we can to protect our atmosphere, and investing money in that and investing money into tools where we can help predict weather better. My whole thing is, because I forecast weather, I realize that even anything outside of a 5-day forecast is a coin toss. So to hear people decide what's going to happen in 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, 100 years is impossible. It's impossible. And we have to take into account that the world has been changing for centuries, and so has weather, and it's evolved. And, we have to take into account as our oceans are big and they take in heat from the atmosphere, and there's sunspots, and things like volcanoes can erupt and block the sun for months and also change the atmosphere. So, I just think that it's hard to predict anything outside of a 5-day forecast, let alone what's going to happen in the future with, what we're putting in our atmosphere. Like I said, I agree that we're putting a lot of junk into our air, and we should try to do our best to make sure that we have clean air to breathe and plant more trees and that kind of thing. But it's gotten a little out of hand because it seems to be now a blanket statement that when we go through a drought or we go through a period where we don't have a lot of rain or we go through a period of record-breaking heat, that it's the global warming climate change. Well, now we're going into a period that some people are saying is very reminiscent of the 70s, where we're seeing, you know, all of these storms and this very cold Arctic air. And back in the 70s, people were saying it was a period of global cooling. So I just think it's a hot issue. It will always be a hot issue, but we're not going to prove anything in our lifetime.
Yeah, right. Well, I agree. That's an interesting take on it. And there's so many layers to it. I mean,
right.
You know, the first question is, and of course we don't have time to cover it, but the first question is it true? Okay, maybe it is, maybe it's not. That's one part. And then you go down to the next layer is it caused by humans? And then
right.
The next layer beyond that is, really, you have to just ask, and of course there are other layers, I'm skipping quite a few, but is it bad? And I'm not saying that you could ever argue that it's good that we're putting junk into the atmosphere and polluting. I'm just saying from a warming perspective only, I mean, doesn't that create all sorts of new arable land and new farming opportunities? I mean, there are people in inclement climates that would probably love global warming.
You know? Well, I think, you know, just as a general statement, everything evolves, everything changes, everything adapts. And the weather does that as well. So, you know, to put it on man itself, changing the weather, you know, sometimes I think it's a little bit far-fetched. I will say that I think you can argue both arguments. I think there's documents that can, you know, we could sit and you know, debate it until the cows come home. But the point is we have to do our best to try to protect the atmosphere and do what we can to make sure our children grow up and have what we have. But I think, again, it's gotten out of hand, especially people who don't typically study it, to just use it as a blanket statement. Oh, it's global warming. Oh, it's climate change. Oh, you know, to the point of, you know, every hurricane that hits us is going to be climate change or global warming. I mean, we've had hurricanes hit us since the beginning of, you know, record books, and some of them have been very, very strong. And to put a flip side to it, we had a very quiet hurricane season last year, and we also had a very quiet tornado season. And some of the documents will say, well, with global warming and climate change, we're going to have like crazy hurricanes and crazy seasons of tornadoes. Well, we just had a very quiet hurricane and tornado season. So what does that tell you?
Right. It's so funny, Janice, because people just instantly, when some weather event happens, it's, see, I told you so.
Right. Right. Like, and it, to me, you know, we had that devastating typhoon hit the Philippines this year, and it was devastating. It was Category 5, and it did incredible damage, and it killed so many people. But to hear people say, well, it's global warming, climate change, that is simply not true. One event does not make global warming or climate change. And we have had actually, the U.S. has not been hit by a Category 5 since 1992, since Andrew. So I don't know. And like I said, last year was very quiet. We go through cycles. I study weather and I study cycles, and that's the way I believe, you know, the weather evolves.
Very, very, very good points. Any comments on the drought in California before you go? That is pretty severe, huh?
It is pretty severe, but I do have good news in that the pattern, the weather pattern is changing. So they're going to actually get some much needed moisture over the next week or so, as well as some much needed snowpack for the Sierra.
See, listeners, we're actually getting a weather forecast here, too.
Well, this is great news because it has been an extreme to severe drought, but, you know, this is their rainy season, and it is possible that, you know, the month of February into March, if you get a couple of storm systems, it will certainly help the dire situation that it is right now. It only takes a couple of storms to give a couple of inches of rain to help things out in that area.
Good stuff. Well, anything people should know just in closing, Janice? Any websites you want to give out?
Well, I have a website where I talk about the weather called The Weatherfront on foxnews.com, and I have Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Janice Dean. I love hearing from everyone. I always respond. And you can like me on Facebook, Janice Dean. So I appreciate it. I love talking about the weather. And you can also pick up Freddie the Frogcaster if you want to learn more about weather, give a book to your kids or your grandkids.
Fantastic.
Really proud of it. And then the new one comes out in the fall, Freddie and the Big Blizzard.
And what's the new one about? I mean, he did the forecasting, Freddie the Frog, but...
Right. So the new one is basically Freddie helps to predict the big blizzard that hits his lily pad. And I also talk about the green screen in there because frogs are green. And if you're familiar with a green screen,
they would fade away, right? Yeah.
you can't wear green on a green screen. Right. So I address that. And then the third Freddy in the trilogy comes out next year, and it'll be Freddy in a hurricane. So that's what I want to kind of do is put a good spin on weather and make kids kind of understand a little bit of what I do in weather forecasting and meteorology.
Fantastic. Well, Janice Dean, Senior Meteorologist for Fox News and Fox Business, thank you so much for joining us today.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
You know, Penny, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Rich. Jason actually has a 6-book set on creating wealth that comes with over 100 hours of the most comprehensive ideas on investing in business. They're in high-quality digital download audio format, ready for your car, iPod, or wherever you want to learn.
Yes, and by the way, he's recently added another book to the series that shows you investing the way it should be. This is a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Jason actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets that are untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches us how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
He's recorded interviews with Harry Dent, Peter Schiff, Robert Kiyosaki, Pat Buchanan, Catherine Austin Fitz, Dr. Dennis Waitley, T. Harv Eker, and so many others who are experts on the economy, on real estate, and on creating wealth.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered with a savings of $385.
Now, to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series complete with over 100 hours of audio and 6 books, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed.